Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a show where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our embarrassing stories. We tell your embarrassing stories. Sometimes you tell your own, and we love that too. We're here to cry with you, cringe with you, laugh with you, and of course, bring some levity to your day. I'm Katie.
And I'm Mary Kate.
Let's turn Beat Red.
How's your week? No. We're recording back to back, so nothing happened yet.
We're back to back. This is our Christmas episode. It's going to be Christmas in a couple days when this comes out. Merry Christmas. You are the best present that we could ever receive. You
and
listening
happy Hanukkah
is such a gift. If you want to give us a gift, you can give the gift of telling a friend to listen to our podcast. Yep. That would be the best gift that you could ever give us.
Spread. Deck the halls with the sound of screaming the name of the podcast out loud.
Did you watch Stranger Things? We didn't talk about that.
No, I did. I didn't. Did you?
Because it came out on Thanksgiving.
Did you love it?
I did. Okay. I do love it. I can't help myself. It is.
I love it too.
I'm in it to win it. I got to finish it. You know, they're like 45 now. They are not in high school anymore.
Psyched.
But I'm still hooked. I'm hooked. I'm in it. And it's coming out Christmas Day. I don't think I'm going to be able to watch it on Christmas Day. Maybe later. But we usually go to the movies on Christmas. That's a little tradition that we do.
And
we're
going to
see
Avatar,
because my dad loves Avatar. And we're going to take him to the movies, because that's his favorite thing to do.
He's going
to
love that.
He's going to love it. So, yeah, we're going to see Avatar, and that's going to be fun.
And how great is that? You're doing that. You're doing a tradition with your family this Christmas. It's so great. You're there. So cool.
I know. It's been a long time since. Well, that's not true, actually. We came to Florida a couple times. Last year, we went to Florida, and I think the year before. But before that, like, I haven't been back here in Maryland for, I think Sebastian was one the last time we came back. Six months old, maybe. Yeah. It's been a long time. So it's nice. It's very nice. And I'm hoping we get a white Christmas and lots of snow. It's actually supposed to snow tomorrow here. So
So great.
We will see. But yeah.
I need to see you in a sled, like getting pushed down a mountain. Because can you just do that and send that to me for Christmas? I want to see you fly down a mountain on a disc.
I probably could sled down my backyard, but it goes into the river. So and the river's not going to be frozen. So I don't know about that.
Try it. No. That river's frozen, girl.
Horrible idea. It will not be frozen.
I need that video.
And I will skid right into a duck, and then I will be freezing in the cold
water. Don't you want that story?
No.
Don't you want to chase that story?
You want me to skid into a bald eagle, just like you wanted me to throw that turkey during Thanksgiving. Now for Christmas, you want me to sled into a freaking eagle.
I do. I'm
holding a fish in my hand.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. No, you'd probably get hypothermia. So, no.
I know, right?
Nix it. We're shelving that.
I got
idea.
Little snow boots. I got like cute gear.
That's
you got to have
so
cute gear
sweet.
When you're here.
Yeah, you do. And I love the accessories of winter. I don't need them here. I was like sweating yesterday. I was just boiling up.
I'm so happy I hoarded all of my like insanely warm coats that I was going to give away. And I'm so happy I hoarded them. I need them.
You need them. And they're so fashionable. I bet your neighbors
are
like, oh, she's out again in her faux fur. Oh, she's out again in her, like, I don't know. What else do you got?
Got a lot. I've got a lot of jackets and capes and all kinds of things.
Oh, she's out again in her cape. Oh,
in her cape.
Little Red Riding Hood. Oh, that's our neighbors. Mm-hmm. That's great.
So, yeah, that was that.
Nice.
You want me to kick us off?
Go for it.
Okay. For this first story, Sally from Santa Cruz Mountains in California, she sent us an email, which was so sweet, and she wrote some lovely words, and we appreciate
it.
We love when
so
you guys
happy.
Send us emails. Okay, so here we go. 4 years ago, for my 40th birthday, my husband and I rented a large SUV and took a road trip from the Bay Area. Our stops were Joshua Tree, Acrisanti, Grand Canyon, Sedona, and Albuquerque. Then we picked up two of my good friends at the airport and stayed at an Earth ship in Taos. Taos? I don't know how you say that.
Taos?
Yeah. Taos. I have to say, I planned an epic eco adventure. I am known for planning the best trips. I would even say I'm an overplanner.
I mean, that one sounds amazing. Just so you know, that sounds great.
2 years ago, I went to Oaxaca with my best friend and we met up at the airport and I handed her a laminated print out of the itinerary I planned. She laughed really hard, but loved it. I'm like, that's so me. I'm such an overplanner. I will have an itinerary. I will do it.
I appreciate that because I'm the opposite. I'm just like, where are we going? What are we doing?
You're the type B friend.
What do we need?
Yeah.
I
know. I
need
like
to be guided.
Type A, like, ugh. Okay. On the third day in Sedona, we went off for a magical hike in Boynton Canyon to feel the vortex vibes and find the subway cave.
Yes.
And I'm like, been there, done that, like totally can envision it.
I love the vortex.
It's amazing. We went off the hike knowing we would be without reception and would be gone for many hours. We finished our hike and got back in the car. We headed to town to pick up some food because we were tired from the hike, and I started to see I have multiple voicemails. At first, I thought it could be an emergency with my parents, but as I checked the messages, it was our Airbnb owner. Each message, he sounded more and more upset and was wondering where the hell we were. What? I started to freak out. Why would he care where we were? While I was freaking out and listening to the messages, I realized he said, we didn't book that night's stay. I called him, which was a hard call for me to make. I profusely apologized and said we were on the hike with no reception and just got the messages. We picked up the food since we had already ordered and went straight to the Airbnb. I didn't know what to expect. He was standing out front. This is where I want to mention all of the stuff we had packed. I had multiple bags of clothing. I love fashion and vintage, and I wanted a lot of looks for my birthday trip. We had instruments, a large keyboard, we had food, we had a cooler, we had a lot of stuff, like an embarrassing amount of stuff with us. We were only gone for 2 weeks, but it looked like we were moving in. We left the Airbnb like we had another night's stay. Suitcases not closed, food out, keyboard out, etc., thinking we would pack up the next morning. This meant they packed us up. The Airbnb owner had all of our stuff moved into the garage.
Oh my God.
At that moment, we had to hustle and grab all of our belongings while he stood there and watched us take trip after trip after trip to our car. I've never been so embarrassed. I was embarrassed not only because I messed up the booking, which I pride myself on, and because of the volume of stuff and that someone else had to pack it up. Thoughts ran through my head as we loaded our stuff. What if we're missing something? What if they saw my dirty underwear? How did I mess these dates up? I felt ashamed. I also thought, well, there goes my last chance renting an Airbnb, thinking he would give us the worst rating. I don't fault him. He had cleaners there that day and had to get it ready for the next renter. I kept apologizing and saying we'll pay for another night to make up for it. Turns out he never rated us, didn't charge us, and was pretty nice about the whole thing. He knew that we were out of reception, so I think he felt for us, and he could tell I was truly embarrassed and genuine about my mistake. That night, we found an overpriced hotel and sorted through and repacked our stuff. When I look back at it, I'm still embarrassed 4 years later, but I would go on another epic road trip. I will just have my husband check the dates.
I love that. I love that story. I'm so happy that you listen and we're so psyched to have your story. And that is really embarrassing. And I gotta say, you were so, so kind about the Airbnb guy. I get it. But he needed to help you make those trips to your car because he's standing there and that makes it even more awkward. He's just staring at you as you're like,
well, from hustling, his perspective, like, he's like, what the fuck? I have somebody checking in. At 2 o'clock, why is your shit everywhere? He's been calling her.
Whatever. He has seen, like,
you isn't know, that crazy?
Stuff like, splashed all over his walls, whatnot. They had some instruments.
I think it's a horrible feeling when you're just out, like, la la la, having this magical day and magical hike. You're in the vortex. You're like, oh, what are we gonna eat? Let's get lunch. And then your phone comes into reception, and you're like, shit. Yeah. We have like 25 like, missed calls.
We're
Who is
burning
this?
Your stuff. Oh my God, that's really embarrassing. We've never heard that before. Just like not booking a night and then you have to move everything instantly. I'm glad they found another spot.
I liked that it was a different kind of one and it's very relatable. We've all made those kind of like mistakes, but when it affects other people too, it's always awkward, you know?
That's so good. Thank you so much for your story and for your support.
Thank you for sharing
for
that.
Writing. Send them more. Send us more. So excited.
Send us more. Send us more. Okay, for our next story, we have a caller. Her name is Meg, and she's a comedian. I found her on Instagram where she told her hilarious, embarrassing story. Her handle is Juicy Mama, which is
Juicy Mama
at JuicyMama. So be sure to go give her a follow. You're going to love her content. Let's call her up.
Let's call her up. I love it.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Meg. You're on with Katie and Mary Kate of the Beat Road podcast. And we can hear you now. We had some technical difficulties.
I was we already love you.
Wait, I'm obsessed.
Yay. We are so excited to hear your story. So I know it. Mary Kate doesn't. She's hearing it blind.
I'm blind and I'm deaf and I'm psyched to hear it.
Oh my gosh. Okay, wait. So I'm so excited.
So are we. Thank you so much for doing this, by the way. Thank you.
We're, oh my God. Like,
so thrilled you could do this.
You know what's so funny is I love telling this story like on stage, like every once in a while, but I was like, I might as well just like put this online. And it like blew up. And I have so many people that like I didn't realize would like were messaging me. They're like, I'm so grateful that you like told this story. Oh,
it's such a good story. It is.
I love that.
And I'm like, I don't know. I really didn't expect like such an immense and visceral impact on the people. But
it sounds like you did have one. It sounds like
you're a fantastic storyteller. So we're very excited to have you tell it on our podcast.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Is there anything I need to preface or should I just like go right on it?
No, you can get right into it, but you can be even more detailed than what you told on there if you like. Like you can start off a little bit and just say, you know, how you met or any of that stuff and, you know, go into it whenever you're ready.
Okay, cool. It's almost like a two-part series because every single time I've met this man, it was an absolute dumpster fire. So I will share.
I love it.
Both yes, please. Stories, please.
Absolutely cataclysmic. So, okay. So let me set the scene. So it's my freshman year of college. I had just started at Temple University back in Philadelphia. And I like was on campus and I like had just gone to the dating apps or whatever, even though I was like 18, like, what am I doing? Like, anyway, but that was like the thing to do. And I was just like, I saw this guy like all the time. Do you know when you like see in like movies, like that person, like he almost was like giving Fabio with like the long hair. And every time I saw him, it was like time stopped. Like his hair was flowing. Like,
I love it.
Like the angels slow-mo. Were singing. Like I was swooning over this man.
Amazing.
And so I saw him all the time on campus and especially like right outside of this like pizza shop slash bar. But I never had like the balls to like say hi to him, which is crazy because as Juicy Mama now, like I like would have gone up to him and been like, I need you now.
I need anyway, you now. I love that. It's a great icebreaker.
Right. Like I need to suck you. That's my eye. So sorry. Like the suckery that was going to ensue was crazy. But anyway. Can I be like vulgar? Like what's the deal?
You can be as vulgar as you want. You can curse. That's what we're here for. For
yes,
all of it.
We're here for all of it.
Literally stunning. I'm from the East Coast, so like that.
Me too.
Like,
I'm
okay. Yes.
Wait, are you from Philly? Okay, I'm from Maryland originally, and I'm back here now, which is why we're remote.
Wait, where are you from originally?
Maryland.
Okay, DMV. We love it.
That's right. Delmarva.
I was like, the Department of Motor Vehicles. I'm just like out here in the West, just lost.
I'm literally obsessed.
Yes.
Oh my God, no, because the DMV, right. Okay. Wait, not me just realizing that, like in this moment. That's crazy. Okay, can I say his like name? I guess it doesn't really matter because like
yeah, you can say his first name because who cares, right?
I also think I literally said his name in my video that blew up anyway, so like whatever.
He's seen it. Okay.
I see this guy all the time on campus, right? And I'm like absolutely enamored. And then so I'm like swiping on Tinder and then he comes up and I felt my heart literally fall out of my ass. Oh. Like I was like, this is my time to shine. So his name is William. And I was like, and I texted my friend and I remember being like, dude, like that man and I, like we had matched. So we matched and I swiped right. He swiped right. I'm like losing my fucking shit. You guys have no idea.
Yeah, anyway. That's the best feeling ever. Your dream has just manifested right in front of your eyes.
Yes.
No, it was, and it was a roller coaster. Let me tell you, buckle up.
Okay.
Oof. So I messaged him, and I was like, what would a cute date idea be? And I was like, well, maybe it'd be fun to, like, get, like, a bottle of wine. And I was like, do you want to come over? Like, I just brought my Wii system here. We could play Mario Kart. Like,
love
we can,
it.
Like, get drunk and play Mario Kart. I don't condone drinking and driving, but, like, we're going to be stationary in my house. Like, it'll be fun. You know what I mean? So.
Mario's
was, like,
sober.
That sounds incredible. And he comes over, and I'm, like, so nervous. I already had, like, a glass before. I remember I got pink Moscato by Barefoot. I got a whole liter.
Yes.
Iconic.
We're going to do this. And so we start drinking. We're both Irish, so we're like pounding this wine.
Oh my God.
And one thing like led to another. We're like playing like Mario Kart. We're getting into it. And then we just like have like that moment where we look at each other. We're like, let's take this to the bedroom, babe. Like, it's yes. time
love it
to hit the rainbow road in the bedroom, that's what's going to go down. So I, but mind you, this is also the funny thing is I shared a room with someone else. So I was just like she could have come home at any moment, but like I was at a point in like this was my first time living out of the house, so I didn't like really know like roommate etiquette, but I was like, I had this like the man of my dreams. Like this guy could have been casted in like Lord of the Rings.
Like, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, he was giving just like what's like he was going to battle. Like I was obsessed. It's anyway,
Viggo Mortensen's character. I'm picturing it.
Yeah. So okay. So you can see. Yeah. Exactly. Okay,
so he's like,
we were gagged by William. Like, let's be real.
Okay.
And so
love it.
We're in the bedroom, and he's just starting to like worship me down, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm obsessed. And then he was like, do you want to like 69? And I was like, babe, I will do literally anything with you. Like, what are you talking about? Like, yeah. And so I get on top of him and we're like in the 69 position or whatever. And you guys aren't seeing me in person, but I have a little tush. I have a nice little, you know,
oh, wait.
A little ass.
Okay, so wait. You're like, I have a little tush. So I just pictured a tiny butt, like a little tiny butt.
No, it's the opposite. It's giving, like, I went viral for my ass clapping on the internet. Like,
yes! It's love it. Juicy mama. Okay. We love a fat ass.
For all the Catholic guilt is in my ass. That's the vibe. That's
I'm
my
so
Irish
jealous.
So I have an ass and I'm very proud of it. And so when I was 69 with him, he was like moving my. God, every time I tell this story, I have to relive it. But he was like grabbing my cheeks, and he was like, you know, squeezing them. And he's like, oh, I fucking love your ass. And then he pulled them apart, and it just went.
No, it didn't.
Into his face, and I swear to God, I felt his hair just like whoosh back. Like, he had like Fabio hair. And I will never forget after I farted in his face, I audibly heard him go, oh.
Hey, can
and
you
so
do this?
I started losing my mind, and I like his member is in my mouth, and like I'm still sucking, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I just start laughing, and I'm like, oh. While sucking him.
Dying.
And actually, this is like a three-part series. So
my cheeks. I can't even feel my cheeks anymore. You have to tell us everything.
Please keep going. Are you kidding me? You have to tell everyone everything.
We are not leaving until we hear every detail. This is phenomenal.
Oh, my God. Okay. So basically, so then after that, so it happened twice in that one sitting, which is crazy.
Oh, okay.
So I blew some air in his face twice.
Okay.
And it was wild or whatever. And then so we were like fooling around all night. Like, you know, he was like DJing the VJ or whatever. And I was like, okay, T. And then eventually he leaves and I'm like, I had so much fun with you. I'll see you soon. Bye or whatever. The next day I woke up and it felt like I can't even describe to you how swollen my fucking labia was.
Oh no.
To the point where, and it was so crazy because it literally, I was like, this is insane. It felt like I had like another leg. Like it was crazy.
Oh God.
Ooh, that sounds really painful.
And it was Mother's Day and I had to go and see my mom.
No.
And so I was like, what am I? I can't walk. I can't sit properly. So I literally had to like drive home with a bag of ice and a bag of frozen peas on my puss. And then I like drove by my friend and she's like, why the fuck are you icing your vagina? And then I had to tell her the whole thing. And she's like, that's fucking crazy. So then that closes the first chapter of William.
Okay.
Wait, but do we find out why it was so swollen?
Because he was just like, do you know how some guys like don't know the true art of fingering?
Yes.
Like,
oh, he was just like finger banging around. Now
he was just giving carpet burn.
Like, it just
Man. Okay. I was like, did he have some kind of like crazy thing on his like mouth? Like, yeah.
No, it painful. He kept going. And I think he, like, I was in such a blissful state of like hooking up with this man that I didn't realize that like, he was starting a fire, like, between my legs. Nothing was computing. But then the next day, I was like, oh, my God, I've never seen anything like this
And then
before.
You're, like, handing your mom, like, a Happy Mother's Day balloon and telling her everything. Telling her
I was, like, waddling into my mom's house, and she's like, what happened? I was like, oh, leg day, you know. But, like,
yeah, you're
that,
like,
was, that was the extent.
That leg workout, major exactly. leg workout.
Major, yeah, William upper thighs.
Oh my God.
But so, okay, so close that chapter. And then he had like always just like kind of been on my mind because he was like, I feel like the first guy that I went to in college where I was just like enamored by such a handsome man. And so I was like, I wonder if I'll ever see William again. And so,
wait, so you just didn't talk after that?
We like chatted here and there, but it was never anything that was, we like hung out one other time.
Okay.
And I was just like, yeah, this is cute, but like,
The magic was gone.
The magic was gone.
His hair wasn't flipping
the
same
magic
way.
Was farted right out of there.
There was no wind in his
right
slow-mo.
It was one of those things where I think I was like, maybe this is just like a one and done thing because so many events transpired in one hookup that I was like, I don't know if we'll ever be able to live up to that again.
True. Right.
But so are you guys like familiar with Philadelphia at all?
I am.
I know a little bit about Philly.
So there are like specials across the city called Citywides, which are you get like a tall boy beer and a shot for $3.
Yeah.
So it's like a guaranteed blackout on $15.
Nice.
Great for a college kid.
And it was wild. And so there's this place called L Bar that was underneath the L train that offered that, which like everyone went to. This is the type of bar that was like, if you've ever seen like Percy Jackson, where they go in and they eat the lotus flower and then they don't leave for like 3 days and they get like fucked up, like that's what it feels like.
Oh my God.
So it's a wild ride. So anyway, I go in there and I see William and I'm like, oh my God. And we like start getting drunk together. And I was like, you need to come over. Like, I need you again. Like, I need to fart in your face just one more time.
I love it.
And he's just like sat down. Like,
it's like you had me at fart in my face.
No, because he was the one that pulling my cheeks. Like, he was down.
Yes.
He did it. He caused it. It's his fault.
He did it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I couldn't control, like, the position I was in.
No.
And so, anyway, TLDR, I'm like, I need you to come over again. Like, I have the house to myself. All my roommates are gone. Like, this is perfect. And he's like, okay, great. And I was like, but do not come over yet. I need to go home and clean because my room is a shithole. Like, this was back when I was in college and, like, not giving a fuck about my space yet. So, like, I
been
have
there.
To, like,
We've been
cleanse
there.
My room before a man entered, you know?
Yes. You had other things on your mind. You had other things. It was good.
Right. Exactly. So I was like, William, you stay. You have another beer. I'll see you soon. And we set our piece. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to go home. So I go home. I go inside. I'm cleaning. And this is back when I still smoked, like, nicotine. And I was like, fuck, where's my jewel? Like, I need to like rip that shit now. And I was like, oh, it's probably in my car outside, which is like, why would it be out there? But I was like, it's probably there. So I leave my house to go get my jewel and I don't see it in the car. And I'm like, what the fuck am I even thinking that it's out here? Like, I've had it on me the entire night. Like, what am I doing? When I try to go back in the house, I realize I'm locked the fuck out.
No.
And so, and none of my roommates are home. And so I was like, this man is about to come over. Like, I need to do everything in my power to get back in this house to get dick.
So the things you do for dick.
And this is truly the testament because I scaled my building.
Amazing.
And literally scaled my building to go through. So I had to go through the side of my building to get to the backyard.
You Spider-Man that shit for dick.
Yeah, I was going to say, you performed a dick-defying act. It was a death-defying act.
At this point, like, I would have been like, we need to rain check. Like, I'm not dealing with this anymore. But, like, this was at a moment where I was like, it was like, I just turned into like the hormone monster. And I was like, this is now. Yeah. And so I'm scaling the building. Mind you, the area in which I'm scaling is filled with brambles. And I don't know, do you guys know brambles? Like those like really sticky,
yes,
like
horrible.
Yeah.
So annoying.
Spiky spikes.
Exactly. And they stick to everything. They're such a pain in the ass. So I'm scaling. I go to the back of the building. I am trying to break in through my windows, through the back door, everything. Nothing's working.
Oh my God.
I then scale the building again, fall into the brambles, and then crawl through the brambles to get to the front.
What?
And I don't know what I'm doing. And William's like, when should I come over? And I'm like, not yet. Like, give me some more time. I'm like,
and you probably haven't even finished cleaning, right?
Like, I'm just lighting some candles. You're like, in the brambles.
Oh my God. I was like, I'm getting the space ready for you. Meanwhile, I'm like covered in brambles and my makeup is running. And so I'm like freaking out. And instead of calling literally like my roommates or any of like my friends, I called 911 because I was like, what the fuck am I going to do? And so I called 911 and I was like,
that's
hey,
hilarious.
Like I'm locked in my house. Someone's supposed to be coming over soon. Like, what am I supposed to do? And they're like, call a locksmith and not 911. It's like, you're so right. I don't know why I'm doing this. And so I hang up on the police and then I call the locksmith. Actually, I think at some point I called William and I was like, hey, I'm so sorry. Like, seriously, I had a party here the other night. So I'm really like, I'm like deep cleaning, babe.
Like,
you know what I mean?
I am scrubbing this place down.
Like pine sole in this bitch. It's crazy.
I am not telling him that I'm locked out and he's going to leave.
Like, lock the fuck out. And because, as you know, I was like enamored by him. I was like, I will do anything for this. So I call the locksmith and I'm like, hey, like, can you come and get me into my house? And he's like, well, I'll be there in 2 to 3 hours.
Oh my
Mind
God.
You, it's already like 1:30 in the morning.
Are you kidding me? 3 hours? That's insane.
I know. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Are you at L Bar? Like, what do you mean?
Probably. Yeah.
So I, in my drunken state, fell the fuck asleep on my stoop in the middle of North Philadelphia.
Oh my no. God. Oh my God.
I will never forget. I had fallen asleep. I'm like sprawled out. I'm pretty sure like my tits were out. Like, I don't even know. Like, I was like,
what?
Been there.
And I have this man like shaking me awake. He's like, ma'am, are you okay? Like, do I need to call the police? And I'm like, no, like, who are you? And he's like, I'm locked. I was like, can you get me the fuck in my house? And he gets me in my house. And then he's like, it's $300. And I was like, this is fucking ridiculous.
God.
This is the most I've ever paid for a dick appointment.
Wait, so this guy, so you were asleep, it's the locksmith, he lets you in, then he's like $300 and you're like, wait, what? I thought he was just a good Samaritan. He's the locksmith guy. You were asleep.
The locksmith.
Okay.
Who showed up.
Okay, whoa, okay. And William's still not there yet. William's still waiting.
Well, at this point, is it 4:30 in the morning?
William's she's at IKEA, like building furniture right now. I'm waiting for this too.
No, I'm like literally like I'm still deep cleaning. It's like four, like my place was like a shithole. But it's also like it was so normal for people to go to afters. So I was like, maybe he's still up. So anyway, I get in the house and I text William and I'm like, hey, like if you want to head over soon, I know it's like a little late. It's like 4 hours after I told him to come over. And I was like, if you still want to come over, like that's totally fine. I'm getting ready for you.
It's 5 a.m. He's like, the sun is up. So like, the fuck.
Like, by the time he even came over, like, the house would have still been a shithole. So, I was like, what was I doing?
He's like, this
4 hours?
Is you cleaning for 4 hours? I'm out.
But so here's the thing is when I had sent him that was before I went and looked in the mirror. So don't forget the brambles.
Oh,
so I
God.
Used to have hair that was, like, down to my belly button. When I went into the bathroom, all of the brambles had caught all of my hair like a crown on my head.
Oh my God.
That's so scary.
I had to text him back at me like, actually, literally, JK, like a pipe just burst. So I have to deal with that.
He's like,
and
what
I
the
made
fuck?
Up the fucking lie. And when I tell you, I showered for 2 hours straight, conditioning and just like yanking out brambles. I had to cut my hair into a fuck ass bob.
Oh
no.
No,
you didn't.
I did a fuck
you
ass
cut
bob.
Off
it was
all
down
your
to my
hair?
Belly button.
Holy
yeah.
shit.
Those brambles, man. What the hell is the landlord thinking with that?
That's why that locksmith was like, are you okay?
So,
like,
so did you cut your hair into a bob like that night? Like, did you
do that? Like, literally after the 2 hours, I just got to a point where I was like, I need to like create a fuck ass bob. Like, this is like, it was just like my, like a Britney moment, but like into a bob. Like,
you cut your hair into a bob that night?
I had to. I had no, the brambles were so caught in my hair.
You're killing me.
Such a good story.
I'm dead. I'm dead.
And
you
that
cut all your hair off.
That was like my 3-part series of my interaction with William.
Did wait, so back? What happened with over? William?
Honestly, I couldn't even tell you. I think after that, I think because I was so back and forth, I was like, hey, come over. Actually, don't. Actually, wait, come over. Actually, don't. Like, we just like let it be. I just like let it be a moment that passed in time.
If he came over, he would have seen a bob.
That would have been like, so wait, what funny. Happened to He's your like, hair? This is what you were doing for 4 hours, cutting your hair into a fucking bob.
And then he would have walked into my room, a complete shithole, and been like, what the fuck were you doing? The face you're cleaning. Like, he would have been appalled. He would have been like, are you a hoarder? Like, what is this?
that is
like,
so
you are an online
funny.
Gambling. Wait, at any time, William could have been like, you know what? Come over to mine. Like, I'll see you soon. You know what I mean? But
you
he didn't.
How, if William had said, like, why don't you just come to my house? Would have alleviated the entire situation.
Yes.
I wouldn't have had a fuck-ass bob. I would still have $300 and I would have farted in that man's face again. And like, I didn't get any of that.
You didn't get any of that.
That is so funny.
Okay, I think this is the best story I've ever heard. I cannot believe, first of all, you are a legend.
Yeah.
You're a legend.
You have
You're
to call
genius.
Us back, Meg. You have to be a repeat caller.
Meg,
because
you are a comic genius. You cut your hair into a bob because you couldn't get the brambles out. I am obsessed. This is amazing.
I have so many insane stories. So whenever you guys want me to call back, I'm here for it.
Absolutely.
Okay, we are here
you
for
are coming
you.
Back on. That is happening.
Thank you. Oh my God. That made my whole, you cleared any stress I've felt away for like the last 2 months. That was the best story ever.
Yeah.
I hope that I made you giggle and I hope that I made you feel good. I'm so grateful that you don't feel stressed because I farted in someone's face and I got locked out of my house.
And you cut a bob.
You cut a
and
bob.
And I cut a fuck-ass bob.
I bet that bob, did that bob look good? Just let me look good, right? You did it right.
I'm not going to lie. I looked really good with that
nice.
Bob.
Nice. Love that for you. You deserve that. Yep. You went through it.
Really cute.
Damn brambles.
Okay. Thank you
I
so much.
I really can't go near brambles ever
thank
again.
Thank you, Meg. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you for calling us. We so appreciate you. And you are definitely coming back on again. Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Oh my gosh, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. This has been another story from Juicy Mama, you
Yay!
Guys.
Juicy
Everybody
Mama.
Everybody go follow Juicy Mama, MAWMA, Juicy Mama. Go follow her right now.
I'm obsessed. Thank you guys so much again.
Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Oh my God, that was so cool.
That's so funny.
Okay, so my first story is from Anonymous, and they write, my favorite bad Christmas story of all time was when my ex had been on an oil painting course, so I'd bought her all the gear for Christmas. Easel, oil paints, fine art brushes, the lot. And that shit ain't cheap, either. I'd bought it over several months and got her the best of everything. Brilliant present, or so I thought. Cut to Christmas Day and the big present opening. She opens all this stuff, bursts into tears, runs out of our flat, gets in the car, and drives off, nearly crashing said car into the neighbor's wall. It took me 8 hours to track her down, and I found out what the fuck just happened. Turns out she hadn't been in an oil painting course at all. She'd been fucking some married bloke every Wednesday in a hotel down the road.
Oh, wow.
Merry fucking Christmas to me.
Oh,
isn't that crazy?
No. So that was her reaction? She was like,
oh, God, I feel so guilty. Yeah.
You're so sweet. I'm going to just leave.
But that person just bought her all, like, her, like supporting her dreams and completely, whatever, boundlessly. And she was cheating on that person. It's crazy.
Merry Christmas.
Embarrassing, man. Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. Hope you had a gift receipt.
Okay. My next story comes from Cora, and Khalid Hassan writes, a moment that still makes me cringe whenever I remember it is back when I was in college, soon after I had started dating this girl I was infatuated with. We'd gone out maybe a couple of times, but we hadn't done anything before hand-holding at movies and kissing when I dropped her off at the end of a date. I thought I'd take it to the next level with a present, and I had a brainstorm of giving her a Hallmark locket with our photos in it. It was cheap because I was a college student.
I love those. I always want one of those.
In hindsight, a locket is an awkward and a corny gift from a 19 or 20-year-old, as I was back then, to his love interest. But it was at least maybe endearing in some 19th century throwback kind of way. I was going through a romantic era poetry phase, so in my head, it made sense. I know, I think it's really sweet.
I think it's really romantic.
You're like, I always wanted that.
Me too, I did.
Now picture yourself as this girl. What took it from goofy to cringeworthy, super awkward, was when I screwed up my courage to present her with it at the end of our date, which I'd prepared to do with the accompaniment of some cheesy rehearsed romantic speech I'd probably spent an hour practicing in front of a mirror to be delivered in my best Barry White voice imitation as I gazed deeply and ardently into her eyes while placing the locket in her palm and cupping her hand around it.
I love it. With the chain dangling from her palm. Oh my God.
You love it? You're just heart melting.
Hot and bothered over
It's a dream. So I get started. I reach into my pocket to pull out my gift, but in my nervousness, I didn't realize that instead of the locket, I pulled out and placed a condom into her hand instead.
No, he didn't.
And cupped her hand around it. It's so funny.
That is amazing.
She looked shocked, and the following moments of awkwardness of me trying to explain and fumbling for the locket were humiliating. Oh, no. It didn't last long after that.
Okay. So he's just like, he definitely jumped the shark. He told her everything, not with the locket.
He gave her this romantic speech, and then he gently places the locket in her hand and cups it around.
So she slowly opens her hands, and there's like a Maxim, like a Magnum, like an XL Magnum.
Hopefully, if you're lucky. If you're lucky.
That is funny. So funny.
But like they hadn't done anything, so that's where it's like even more awkward, you know? Like they'd only kissed and held hands, he said.
It's so funny because it's like, yeah, that is too much, dude. Leave the condom at home. Maybe put it somewhere else. I mean, if you want to go for it, get after it. Like that's maybe what the locket was for, like the gate to like the key to the gate. But you can't just assume, you know what I mean? You can't be like...
He jumped the shark.
Like, I'm going to show you everything. Because it makes the locket so funny, even more funny.
I know.
He's like, this is a symbol of our love. Let's get it on. Fuck me. That's pretty great. That was really funny. Okay, wow. So this is from Reddit. And Susie Burb writes... The night I turned 21, I was in Vegas with my mother, older sister, and her husband. I turned 21 technically a few minutes prior, and because we had just gotten out of the show, we walked inside the nearest bar to the theater, which happened to be a loud, packed, jungle-themed bar called Kahunaville. My family walks up to the bartender, points to me, and proudly proclaims that it is my 21st birthday, expecting some kind of special treatment. The bartender visibly rolls his eyes and takes our drinks orders without saying anything else. We were so turned off, but figured we could at least celebrate my first legal drink and then go somewhere else more welcoming. After a few minutes, everyone has their drinks except for me. The bartender stands up on top of the bar top and has a microphone. He gets the attention of the crowded bar. Excuse me, I'd like to let everyone know that this young lady, and he points to me, 21st birthday is tonight. The whole bar erupts, super embarrassing. And so I thought, until the bartender takes a seat on the bar top with his 2 feet resting on top of 2 bar stools and his legs spread facing me. He turns around and pulls out a huge drink in a large hurricane glass, complete with a long banana sticking out of the top of it.
What?
Needless to say, there was no straw. So still sitting on top of the bar with his legs spread, he places this erect drink between his legs. And in front of the packed bar, he invites me to take a drink with no hands.
Oh, my God.
This is like our first legal drink. And I mean, in front of everyone. Now, I'm a great sport and the bar is cheering me on, but my mother is 2 feet away from me. I looked at my sister who shrugged and gave me a "we're in Vegas" look. So I took a deep breath and went to town on the banana with my hands behind my back, all while the bartender gives his best O face to the crowd, but mostly to my mother.
Aww.
So he's like giving her. So we left the bar and how relieved I was hearing my mom say, "That was awesome."
Kudos to the bartender for pretending to be a dick only to put on a great show. Ha 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 ha. I think that story is crazy.
It's super awkward.
Right?
What do you think?
Yeah, I do.
What do you think, Katie?
It's really awkward.
I think it's so weird that like someone that's a thing that they do for new drinkers. They're like, okay, now you have to simulate oral sex on me while you have a sip of this cocktail I made for free.
Was it 99 bananas?
And also bananas gross, like in a drink. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Dirty banana. I loved dirty bananas.
Never had one.
No? I mean, it's like basically like a daiquiri, a banana daiquiri.
Oh,
delicious. Okay. Ish. My last story comes from Quora, and Shankmeister writes, I was on a Tinder date with this gorgeous girl. We'd been on Messenger and WhatsApp chatting for a while now. Finally, we decided to meet up for brunch on a Sunday. It was a decent place called Roots Cafe. They serve really good pasta and sandwiches. I arrived 10 minutes later than what we had planned, and she was there at 12 sharp. I finally parked my car and called her. She said she'd been waiting for the last 5 minutes, and she was annoyed. Finally, what? We hugged, greeted each other, and sat down because he was late. She was there sharp,
5 minutes.
And he was there late. It's
5 minutes.
She was wearing a yellow dress and was looking stunning. She had an unusual charm about her and a mysteriousness, which I adored. So the brunch started, and so did our conversation. We connected the second we saw each other. Both of us were very practical in our social lives and wanted something meaningful, which wouldn't involve too much emotional attachment and inconveniences. We were both working and had very busy schedules. The brunch was good, and so was the time spent. Finally, we planned out when to meet up for a few drinks for our second outing. Then came the moment of disaster. We cleared the bill and were about to get up when suddenly I had a huge boner.
No,
Nowhere. And as I was wearing tight trousers, it was very weird and very much visible.
This.
We got up and started walking towards the exit. Throughout the walk, I was walking fast as I wanted to rush to my car so my bulge went unnoticed. Freaking out about my boner, I forgot to offer her a ride, and by that time, her cab had already arrived and we waved goodbye. It was such a relief as I sat in my car thanking my stars as my boner had finally gone down.
So he just like dined and dashed with a boner?
Yes.
She's like, wait, hold on. I have to get my per. What is happening? Like,
he said he was like wearing super tight pants, so it was very weird and very visible.
She saw it.
2 weeks later, over drink, she told me that my trousers had been really tight that first day we met, and she found that funny.
She's like, I just find it funny.
Well, you think like unexpected boners are so funny. So like, I was like, that's a story for you.
It is so funny. And also, like, I think that's so bad. Like, for once, something a guy has to deal with that we don't. We feel like we carry a lot.
We carry a lot of burdens. A lot of stuff. It's true.
A lot of a burden, embarrassing burdens. And they're just like, oh, look at boner. So I love that story.
But the fact that he didn't know it was coming at all and they were just talking and then he got up and it was just there is really funny.
It's so funny. I wonder if it like knocked the table. He's like, oh, oops. I just like that he's like, oh, wait, I didn't ask if she wanted. And he turns around. And he just waves to her from so far away because he doesn't want her to see.
But he's also like speed walking and he's probably like ahead of her, like talking behind him. She's like, what the hell? He's like
she's
running.
Like, I guess
in front.
He hated this date. Yeah. Well, it sounds like it worked out. Sounds like it worked out.
She liked what she saw.
She enjoyed it. So this is my last story and it is from Reddit. And A Nice Egg writes, I was a theater kid and didn't have stage fright or anything. But when I was a freshman in high school, I had my first panic attack hours before I was to play the goose in our production of Charlotte's Web. I just need to pause to say it's high school theater and they're doing Charlotte's Web and she's the goose.
Okay? Love it.
I also have chronic migraine and it caused a big one, complete with excruciating pain, light and sound sensitivity, and lots of nausea. That's terrible. And I had forgotten my prescription painkillers at home, so I was stuck with it.
Yeah, migraines are no joke.
I mean, God. I tried to push through it all and got into costume and a full face of goose makeup. I'm feeling horrible, but the show must go on. As soon as I walk out for my first scene, bright stage lights are piercing into my head and a wave of nausea just courses through me. Mind you, she is dressed like a goose. Okay,
I want to see this outfit so badly.
I do too. I had to be on stage about 5 minutes for that first scene. Tried to swallow it down between lines. A lot of my classmates were out in the audience too. I open my mouth to say my last line and it's just... I vomit on the stage and all over my own lap in front of 300 people.
As a goose.
the senior, I was like, oh, seriously, I'm like,
you puked Webb? In your beak.
Why did you choose Charlotte's Web? The senior boy playing my counterpart, the gander, accidentally whispered, oh shit, into his mic and rubbed my back to try and calm me down.
Aww.
That was nice of him.
So is he using a little wing? That's what I'm picturing.
Yes. He's just like, oh shit. Like, but he's the gander. Somehow I got off stage and puked the rest of my guts out into the bathroom. The drama club teacher was nice enough to let me know she wouldn't charge me for the pukey costume, which is funny. Like, why would you charge a kid, a high school kid, for their costume? Like, it's a high school. You have to give them the costume.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that.
Yeah. She's like, oh, I'm sorry you're sick, but I won't charge you. Like, outside of the knock knock and you're puking your gut, your intestines out.
Horrible.
Anyway,
that's humiliating.
I didn't mean to end on her.
That's our show. We hope you loved it. And, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, whatever you're celebrating. If you're not celebrating, we're happy that you're here celebrating with us with laughter. That's the only celebration that you need. But we're so glad that you're here and we love you. And we hope that your 2026 is going to be amazing.
The best.
I think we have one more podcast actually before.
We do.
The new year. Okay. So this isn't the last one of the year, but yeah, happy holidays. Anyway, tell your friends about us. Rate, review, subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, you can email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in the show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join us.
Join us.
See you next week.